Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer, and so glad to have you back on the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought, and we're settling in quite nicely out here, the new McBurney compound, settling into country life. Yes, a little slower pace, a lot less traffic. Our new town reminds me a lot of the town I grew up in, which is one of the reasons we moved 10 miles outside of town, because it distinctly reminds me too much of the town I grew up. That's the town where I was willing to join the military just to get out of that town. So that's why we're 10 miles south of town. Parts unknown, Bennett, Colorado. Yeah, the tallest building in Bennett is a grain elevator. I really like that. But we've been settling in quite nicely. We have had our first hantavirus scare here out on the range here, out on the prairie, little house on the prairie. Our daughters, this morning they found a mouse. And of course, what did they do? They picked it up, put it in a box, and gave it food. And they played with it until it bit two of them. And so we're online researching the hantavirus, which is very popular here in Colorado among the rodentia that grace the prairies out here. And we found out there's pretty much nothing you can do about the hantavirus until you find out if you've got the hantavirus. And then, you know, hopefully you get taken care of. Everybody survives. So we're on hantavirus watch out here, but still going on with the show. Here in the boiler room at the McBurney compound, it's on with the show. And despite all the activities out here, riding fences, repairing fences, putting up fences, despite all that, we did follow some of the news this week. And I figure I'll jump on board the Hillary Clinton email bandwagon, since that seems to be the story of the week. Start with the New York Times. The Gray Lady reports that the Gray Lady, Hillary Rodham Clinton, revealed last week that she had deleted about half her emails. Yes, she says about half of them. She says that she did turn over to the Barry Ho administration every bit of correspondence about any government business she might have been doing as Secretary of State, but that she had erased some records. You know, private matters, like her daughter's wedding, her mother's funeral, things she really doesn't care that much about, so she just deletes those. You know, it's like all those pictures of your family on your computer. You delete all those, but you save all your work emails. Yeah, right, Hillary. I'm sure. I'm not buying it. What else does the Times have to report here? Oh, they say it's unclear if the emails she deleted were deleted irretrievably. Well, New York Times, I'm not a computer expert, but I can tell you there's no such thing as an email that's deleted irretrievably. So I think it's safe to say that if we want to find Hillary's emails, we probably can. Now, the day that this came to be known, that Hillary was using private email and her own private server at her own compound there in upstate New York, the day it came to be known, the FBI should have shown up that night at her Chappaqua residence and confiscated the server and just about everything else in her house, and probably arrested her, thrown a raincoat over her head, and let her out the front door in handcuffs is what should have happened. But it's not going to happen. And it's not just because Hillary is part of America's elite, one of the original elitists, if I'm not mistaken. It's not just because she's elite. In fact, let's go to Breitbart for this story about the State Department in general. By the way, the State Department, for all of you uninitiated out there, that's the department that Hillary was in charge of when she was Secretary of State. Yes, that would be the State Department. Well, a report released by the State Department's Inspector General has concluded that the department's employees are not saving enough of their emails either. They're supposed to save their emails for official records. But it turns out the IG found that State Department employees have not received adequate training or guidance on their responsibilities for using those systems to preserve record emails. Now, any of you who have ever had a job where you work for someone else who relies on you to carry out their business, you know how to save emails. You've been trained, and the training only takes about 20 minutes, how to save an email. Well, the best way to save an email is don't delete emails. That's it. How much training does it take to learn not to delete emails? Because they're all saved automatically. Well, it turns out the problem is endemic at the State Department. This new IG report, according to Breitbart, comes as former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is under scrutiny for using her personal email address and her own personal server during her time as Secretary of State. Breitbart reports that the State Department upgraded its system in 2009. They went from Morse code to computers. They did this in order to keep emails for records, you know, in case things happen where we need to know how we got where we are. They could go back and look at the email records. So they upgraded their system in 2009, but lo and behold, the Inspector General says that there's a lack of understanding about what should be saved as official records, and some employees are not keen on leaving a record trail. Now, that's a fact. That's what's happening here. A fish rots from the head down, you may have heard. And the State Department, well, everyone in the State Department is trying to cover themselves and hide things as they set about to destroy the country under the tenure of Barry Ho, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and of course now John Kerry. No, none of these people want their email recorded. They don't want to leave a record. The IG has made 7 recommendations in order to improve the way emails are preserved at the State Department. He suggests annual reviews, training, guidance, and the creation of a body to advise on the matter. Yes, for which the IG is reported to have recommended his cousin's stepson and his attractive young secretary to head that new body. 6-figure incomes all the way around. We must have a body, and somebody's got to be in charge. Why not the IG's cousin? Oh, his cousin's stepson, I'm sorry. So we'll see how all that goes. But the reason Hillary Clinton will not be taken down politically over this scandal is because everybody in Washington is doing it on both sides of the aisle. They've got personal emails, secret emails, private Swiss bank accounts. They're robbing the country blind and destroying the foundations of the nation, trashing the Constitution every day. Do you think any of these people, Republican or Democrat, want to leave a credible record of what they've done? Well, fortunately, God is running tape. So you can delete all the emails you want, Hillary, John Boehner, the rest of you. There will be a day of reckoning, and there will be no claiming that your hard drive was erased on Judgment Day. And so we look forward to that. All right, so now, while the leftists, the socialists, the perverts, and the deviants are hell-bent on destroying the country and have set about doing it in a vigorous manner, we have an oath of allegiance now that has been sworn from Boko Haram to the Islamic State. Yeah, the oath was announced by Boko Haram from their Nigerian base, and it was accepted by the Islamic State last week. Boko Haram, according to the New York Times again, has pushed more than 200,000 Nigerian refugees across the border into neighboring countries. Officials have suggested that Boko Haram, by aligning itself more closely with ISIS or the Islamic State, is seeking to attract foreign fighters and possibly win financing from ISIS so ISIS can bankroll Boko Haram. A match made in the pit of hell. Army Special Forces, by the way, and Special Operations, and military instructors from several Western countries are training African troops in Nigeria and Chad. So we have boots on the ground there. They just haven't done any public active fighting yet. Navy SEALs are training Nigerian commandos. And the Obama administration's focus is apparently on training, advising, and equipping African troops to deal with their own security threats rather than using American ground troops, which basically means this will not end well. We're basically giving more weapons to people who will likely be co-opted by Boko Haram or the Islamists in the near future, and will just turn those weapons back on whoever decides to fight them. And I don't know that it will be the United States of America. We seem to have lost our moral compass when it comes to defeating totalitarian maniac murderers around the world. That used to all be very clear to Americans. When there was maniac murderers threatening liberty and freedom around the world, America signed up for the fight. But now we're in the rear with the gear, training our future enemies, and it's very disturbing from the war front. And so we'll turn from the war front to something that we can all understand, the justice system. Yes, yes, it used to be a justice system, but as my pastor at Denver Bible Church coined the phrase decades ago, now it's just a system. And case in point, from San Francisco, JCX Simon, one of the zebra killers, has died in prison. Now, does anyone remember what the zebra killers are? Of course you don't. Some of you people weren't even born when this maniac went on the killing spree out in San Francisco. He was convicted back in 1975, I believe. It's so long ago, I have a hard time remembering. I was a small child. This guy was 69 years old, JCX Simon. He was found unresponsive in his cell last week. The cause of death, according to MSN, the cause of death is unknown, but it certainly was not a swift and painful death penalty. That's the one thing we do know. That's the one thing that is not unknown, is that JCX Simon, one of the zebra killers, was not executed swiftly and painfully. In fact, most of us can barely remember the zebra killers unless you watch some retrospective murder program on the late night cable. You wouldn't know anything about this. Well, let me remind you, he and three other men were convicted after what was described at the time as San Francisco's longest criminal trial. The trial went on forever. 174 witnesses testified. The so-called zebra killers, 14 people were killed and at least seven were wounded in a murder rampage that occurred between 1973 and 1976. The men were said to be an offshoot of the Fruit of Islam organization, and they called themselves the Death Angels. Okay, does that ring any bells out there? Of course it doesn't. This is almost 40 years ago. It's over 40 years ago in some cases. And this guy was still alive, breathing the same air that you and I breathe, and it's disgusting. Nobody can even remember. Let's see. According to a December 1975 LA Times report, the Death Angels had a plan to, quote, run all the whites out of San Francisco, unquote. Well, that was their plan. They were going to run all the whites out of San Francisco and establish the city as the Death Angels headquarters. Now, if you've been to San Francisco, they haven't run out all the white people, but I would say that it is one of the headquarters of the Death Angels. They succeeded in making San Francisco a capital of, well, death of all sorts. Now, I'm actually going to San Francisco next weekend. I'll be hanging out at the Moscone Center there, big convention. And the one thing I like about San Francisco, well, I hate the bums and the stench and the queers, but you can stumble out of the Moscone Center and basically walk into any restaurant, doesn't matter, hole in the wall, any kind of establishment, and you'll get good food. But you do have to step over the bums and the urine, the urine stains at the threshold there. But once you get past that, the food's very good. Let's see, anything else here on the zebra killers who should have been executed in the mid to late 1970s. Oh, there's three more of them still on death row. Yep, there's three others who are serving life sentences with the possibility of parole. Because after all, it's San Francisco, and hey, it was only murder.
When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay, ooh, I wanna be there in my city. Oh, 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 oh,
Doug McBurney, thank you so much to my extremely attractive audio engineer for that brief musical interlude that, well, that could have gone on for much longer. I would have enjoyed that. But the boys finished the song. What are you going to do? All right. Now, we move on to news from around the globe from the gun control file. This is from USA Today. Five people were killed last Monday in a stabbing rampage in a small town in western Japan. A stabbing rampage, I said. Yeah, the victims were just random victims slaughtered with a knife. They ranged in age from 60 to 80 years old. They lived in a couple houses set amongst the farms in the city of Sumoto on Awaji Island in Japan. A 40-year-old, a male neighbor, was arrested in connection with the attacks. That means they think he stabbed all these people. I don't understand why urinalists report things this way. Well, he was arrested in connection with the attacks. They never want to assign any personal responsibility to anyone. Even after the trial, they have a hard time. Even after the conviction and the execution, urinalists trained in the urinalism schools around the nation have a hard time assigning personal responsibility to anyone. But this 40-year-old misfit neighbor is apparently the fella who went on a stabbing rampage. Oh, by the way, he admitted to police that he stabbed the people. And yet the urinalists at Kyoto News still cannot assign any personal responsibility or even the suspicion of any personal responsibility. No doubt they went to urinalism school at NY Urinal. NY Urinal. I think I've coined a phrase there. For all the alums at NYU, you now have a new moniker. By the way, seven people were killed in a stabbing frenzy in Tokyo in 2008. And gun control is in effect in Japan, and it's extremely effective. Unfortunately, the knife control has yet to, well, at least weed out all of the whack jobs who go ballistic with a knife. Well, this is sad and terrifying, actually, if you can imagine if this happened in your community or in your house with your grandma and grandpa. It's horrifying and terrifying. And you've got to wonder what's going on in the mind of a man who goes crazy with a knife and just starts butchering people at random. And I think it's just a sign of of the unmooring of the population at large from any form of godliness as society, global society, continues to sink into a frenzy of godlessness. A frenzy of godlessness. That eventually will consume us all if we don't figure out a way to bring these suicidal, idiotic children into line with godliness is what they need to find out about. And so, well, we keep working on that here at the Weekly Worldview as we try to remind all of you people every week of what's going wrong and exactly how to fix it. Now, what does this fellow in Japan need, this 40-year-old misfit? He needs to be introduced to Jesus Christ. First, by a minister of the gospel in his cell, and then within 3 days, he needs to be introduced personally to Jesus Christ, should he be convicted of these horrifying crimes. But I don't know. Do they have the death penalty in Japan? I think they do, technically. I don't know if they use it a lot. Yeah, they rarely use it. Is that? Well, and this is a case in point that goes to another axiom of Denver Bible Church, is that if the government does not apply the death penalty, then the criminals will multiply it and they will apply it across the population. And that's what's happening here with knives. By the way, that was from the gun control file, Japan being one of the number one gun control nations on the planet. Oh, absolutely. Well, did you know anybody who owned a gun when you lived in Japan? I mean, besides the mafia guys. I never met anyone who owned a gun in Japan. Oh, anyway, yeah, it's gun control is in full effect, and, well, there you have it. All right, let's move on. Let's come back. Come back west with me now, back across the Pacific, right? In fact, we'll pass over the United States, and we'll continue all the way to England. This is from the Times of London. More and more, according to the Times, parents are calling the police and demanding that officers be sent to their houses to deal with their disruptive children. That's right. Rather than chastise the youngsters themselves, increasingly, parents in the formerly Great Britain are actually calling the police to come and discipline their children. Yes, there's been a study on this, apparently, and researchers say that their findings highlight growing pressure faced by families and careers. The ability to discipline children has been eroded, they say, by the demise of extended families and the rise of single-parent households. Well, that's true. I think as mothers and fathers try to both work outside the house and raise kids, they're finding out that, well, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Somebody has to raise the children, and it's a full-time gig. Trust me, you can ask my extremely attractive. Just ask her anytime. She doesn't take calls, by the way. She doesn't answer emails. She's not on Facebook. So if you ask me, I'll ask her, and then I'll tell you what she has to say. So, yes, the demise of extended families, this is something we don't think about. This is something we don't remember. And this is why, as homeschooling Christian parents, we shouldn't be too self-righteous about it, because this went on for generations and generations in the past. But what we have forgotten was in the past, often we had grandma and grandpa living at home or nearby, and there was extended families, uncles and aunts, and the responsibility could be divvied up a little bit amongst reliable family members. But now the pressure, because many of us live thousands of miles, hundreds of miles from our parents and uncles and grandparents, so the responsibility for raising and educating children has now devolved down upon just two people, mom and dad. And that's tough. Even if one person stays home, it's difficult. But that's where we are. And so when we look out at the unwashed heathens who haplessly send their children into the government schools, we have to remember that they've been deprived of certain advantages that our grandparents and great-grandparents had at hand in extended families. And of course, before the feminists made the work playing field level, men made a lot more money, and the women could stay home and take care of their kids like they should. And that's not sexist, by the way. It's just effective. And it's based on the Bible and 5,000 years of human history. The husband should go work and hunt and all that. And mom should stay home and take care of the children. And dad should take care of the children, too, when mom needs a break. I have to put that in there. Because mom needs a break sometimes, and dad has to step up. So what are the other roots of the problem of, well, it's undisciplined children, basically. So they point to extended families, the demise of extended families, the rise of single-parent households. Yes, yes, of course. But also, what we're seeing now come of age is the second and third generation of undisciplined parents. Raised in the government schools themselves, unmoored from godliness because Christianity is on the decline. And as a result of the grand jihad against spanking and corporal punishment by the liberals back in the 80s and 90s, we've got second and third generations of people becoming parents who don't know anything about how to raise children. They have no idea what they're doing. So, well, we're here to help. Other issues, I think. Antidepressants. Too many people on prescription drugs, and that all relates back to the first list of problems. Psychologists and lawyers, they're a problem too. Yeah, everyone, every psychologist and lawyer out there has done his part to undermine the family and the biblical basis for child rearing. The biblical instruction for child rearing has been undermined by psychologists and lawyers. And of course, the biggest problem is godlessness. Yes, the decline of true faith. There just aren't enough true believers who are willing to not only read what the Bible says about how to raise your kids, but actually to do it. That's what we lack. So godlessness is the main problem. And, well, it's become a frenzy of godlessness, frankly. And it's quite disturbing. But we'll move on. We go from there, appropriately enough, to reason number 789 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, we go to Albuquerque, New Mexico from CBS News. Seniors at a New Mexico high school have voted to hold a prom with a communist theme, which they've dubbed Promunism. Oh, isn't that cute, Promunism? Yeah, this is high school kids in New Mexico. What do I have? A quote from a senior. One of the seniors there say, well, many of my classmates, they're jokesters. There are a lot of jokesters, so they want it to be, like, funny. And, like, a lot of them are, like, really intense with, like, politics. And so they called it Promunism. Isn't that funny? Like a jokester. That's a senior Sarah Zachary. Quoted there from Cottonwood Classical Preparatory School, which is a government school. In Albuquerque. So here's where we are, folks. To a generation of kids coming up, young adults really in high school, so unmoored from history, they've become so unmoored from history that the greatest horrors and events of history are mere catchphrases delivered with a smirk and devoid of any understanding. These hapless students at Cottonwood Classical Preparatory, they don't have any idea about communism. They don't have any idea about the tens of millions of people enslaved, brutalized, murdered, robbed. They have no idea. It's like Promunism. It's funny, right? You know, it's like communism, but prom, yeah. So that's what we've got. And here's the thing, is this batch of high school seniors, they're going to be raising kids very soon. And they have no idea where they came from. And they have no idea where they're going. And that, my friends, does not bode well for the future of Western civilization. And neither does this, reason number 790. Los Angeles police descended on Venice High School last Friday, arresting 9 students in connection with a series of sex crimes. Yeah, photos of teenagers had been circulating on social media. We hear the story now every week in any major metro area. LA Times reports that the investigation is still in its early stages. The incidents, by the way, these sex crimes date back to 2013. Several boys were present during at least some of the incidents, and some of the boys are members of the high school's football and basketball program. No way. Really? Shocking. But worry not. Parents have been notified, and crisis counselors are on campus. Yes, crisis counselors now must I think they have to take up residence on most campus these days, as often as they're called upon. They have a statement from the superintendent there. He said, so the LA Times reports, well, the superintendent said in a statement, quote, okay, when they say that he said it in a statement, what that means is he didn't have the nerve to actually express it vocally, verbally. He just issued a press release because the last thing he wanted to do was stand up in front of a bunch of people and have to talk about this. But here's what he said in his statement. Quote, I want you to know that no sexual misconduct of any kind by any student or staff will ever be tolerated in LA Unified School District. And he said that with a straight face. We will make sure every child. Oh, this is a school board member, Steve. Steve on the school board says, we will make sure every child over there feels safe. We want them to feel safe. Now, will they actually be safe? Of course not. That's why this is reason number 790 to get or keep your kids out of the government schools. Worldview. Thank you for sticking with us through the break as we move into the second half of the broadcast. I know I'm supposed to call it a podcast, but I think it's broader than that. Yeah, we're unconstrained by the bounds of the broadcast media. We go worldwide to a worldwide audience via the World Wide Web. We've got listeners from the Far East to Eastern Europe. Vladimir Putin's probably listening, if he's alive. Have you heard the rumors that Vlad is dead? I'm just repeating a rumor because I want to be a responsible journalist. but I don't think Putin's dead, but he looked pretty good last time I saw him, or at least healthy. I don't know how good he looks, but he sort of looks like a maniac. You look deep into his eyes. And you feel like, this guy could stick a shiv in my ribs at any moment. That's the feeling I get looking into Putin's eyes. Yeah. But so, in fact, let's come back to America on that note. Oh, we've been in America. That's right. We were talking about the government schools. I want to give you reason number one to homeschool your kids rather than put them in a private Christian school. Reason number one is they might meet kids like this. The story from CBS in Atlanta to Alabama. I'm sorry, from Montgomery, Alabama. Two Alabama teens face cruelty charges after they were accused of beheading three puppies and posting the video on social media. I said beheading puppies, yes. And if you've listened to the show for any period of time, you know that we compare being pro-life, or I guess you could say being against abortion or being against killing innocent unborn children, we compare that to being against killing puppies or stomping on puppies. I mean, it doesn't make you a hero. It makes you qualified to participate in civilization, but you're not a hero. Well, these guys are below that. These three teenagers beheaded three puppies and then posted the video on social media. And both of these teenagers are students at Wilcox Academy, a private Christian school. And so here's the thing about, first of all, these two, if they're convicted, should be executed. You don't let animal cruelty like this, you don't let that grow into full-blown serial murder later in life. They should be executed for this. This is dangerous behavior. Both teens, yeah, they go to a private Christian school. Here's the thing about Christian school. We talked earlier about parents who have become so disconnected from, our Christian heritage that they just have no idea how to raise kids. They have no idea how to discipline children, no idea how to train them. They know how to yell at them and maybe even hit them from time to time, but they don't know how to train and raise them properly, discipline them. Discipline, by the way, comes from the same word as disciple, okay? Jesus, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so when he says he has suggestions on how to raise children, I take it seriously. Because this is discipline as recommended by the one who is discipling me. So you should think about that if you got kids. If you're going to be a true disciple, then before you go and ask a psychologist or a pharmacist what to do about your kids, how about going to the one who is supposedly discipling you and get his opinion on child rearing? But back to what I was trying to get at here. A lot of these parents, they don't know what to do with their kids, right? They hit them, they yell at them, they put them on Prozac, the kid's still bad. They put them on 3 or 4 different SSRI inhibitors, at lithium and whatever. They try. They don't know what to do, and then as a last resort, they send them to Christian school. Oh, that'll help. Let's send them to Christian school. And these little monsters get into the Christian schools, and they corrupt the entire school. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And when these out-of-control kids are sent off, packed off to Christian school by their parents, well, if your kids are attending that school, they might get some on them, is all I'm going to say, okay? So that's reason number one to homeschool, rather than to send your kid into any institution, all right? And so for those of you whose kids are in private Christian schools and you're somewhat offended by what I said, good. You should be offended and concerned, okay? If you can't figure out how to homeschool your kids, you need to sit down and refigure, okay? Because you can figure it out. You just need to figure a little more. Sharpen that pencil, as they say in sales. All right, now we have to move on. I want to preemptively apologize to my extremely attractive audio engineer because it's a big week in the transgendered world for some reason. Yes, the trannies were pouring out of the closet this past week. We've got a report from TLC, from the Hollywood Reporter. You remember TLC, right? It's the cable network that produces 19 Kids and Counting, which is a show that we watch from time to time, and we enjoy watching it because, well, it's just good, solid entertainment. But TLC, of course, is giving equal time to evil because now they've signed a straight-to-series order for All That Jazz. It's a docu-series following 14-year-old transgender activist Jazz Jennings. Yes, Jazz Jennings. So TLC, well, they're not really giving equal time to evil. Because I think 19 Kids and Counting is the only show that TLC produces that's not evil. Is there any other non-evil shows on TLC? Who does, what's that new remodeling show that I like with that couple? Fixer Upper. Oh, that's HGTV, Homo and Gay TV? So HGTV, that we've dubbed Homo and Gay TV, they have a new show, Fixer Upper, with a couple of, it seems like a couple of Christian folks who fix people's houses up, which is awesome. We like that show, but whenever anything close to anything religious, you can see there's a disruptive edit. There's a real awkward segue because someone said thank the Lord or something like that. So Tia, the folks at HGTV, I mean, it's Homo and Gay TV, so every other show. Anyway, getting back to TLC, this is the 19 Kids and Counting, the only non-evil show that they produce. And now they've given a show to Jazz Jennings, who the Hollywood Reporter calls the new face of transgendered youth. And I'm thinking, was there an old face of transgendered youth? I don't think anybody talked about transgendered youth up until, I don't know, TLC signs a tranny to a reality show. Let's see, a little bit about Jazz Jennings, the new face of transgender youth. In 2004, as a six-year-old, Jazz Jennings was diagnosed with gender identity disorder. And, of course, she immediately made an appearance on the Rosie O'Donnell Show, as you can well imagine. Well, this new series on TLC will feature Jennings and her family, including her parents, Greg and Jeanette, who have abused their daughter and should be arrested. But the Hollywood Reporter says that her parents, or his parents, I'm not even sure which way this tranny went, because the name is Jazz Jennings. I mean, it could go either way. But the parents, who should have been arrested, have encouraged their daughter to be who she is. But now they worry about what's next. Yeah, they should worry. They should worry about what's next. The parents who encouraged their child to rebel against the very biology that God gave them. Yeah, they should worry about what's next, because it's appointed once unto man to die, and then the judgment. And judgment day for these parents, well, I mean, you've read the part in the Bible about the millstone. I don't know, maybe we've got some biblical illiterates in the audience. It's possible. You know, it's to lead a child astray, Jesus Christ himself said, this is Jesus, the forgiving, nice, loving Jesus. He said, if you lead a child away from me, it'd be better if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the deepest part of the sea. And everybody said, amen. Yeah. And so Jesus is going to be doing some millstone affixing on Judgment Day. And these two parents, I believe, will be at the front of the line. The Hollywood Reporter article that I will link to on the blog, maybe. I haven't been linking lately because, well, I've got livestock to take care of. I've got fences to mend, right? I may link to it, I may not. It goes on to list the unbelievable perversion and corruption that has been going on in television since the late 1970s when the first homosexual character appeared on the show Soap. And it has, since that day, since the day Billy Crystal came out as an open flaming homosexual on television, the entire country has been on a trajectory toward the decline and fall of the Grecian Empire, frankly. And it's happened incredibly rapidly. In less than 40 years, things we couldn't even whisper about in the dark, in secret, are shouted from the rooftops and paraded down the street in front of our churches and in front of our children. And I'm sick of it. I can't take it. I can't hardly go out in public anymore with the freaks and the tattoos and the vulgarity and the facial piercings and the vulgar t-shirts. You people make me sick. I want to be separate from all of you perverts who are destroying my country. All right. So am I bitter? I guess so. I'm a little bit bitter. Am I jaded? Yeah, you bet I'm jaded. Am I prejudiced? Oh, absolutely, I'm prejudiced. Yeah, if you walk up to me with a spike through your face and a tattoo on your chest, I'm going to be prejudiced. You got a long way to dig out of that hole before you'll get any respect from me. I guess that's why we have retreated to the compound here. Oh, by the way, our front lawn, as a guy, I overestimated. Our front lawn is only about 325 yards long. Yeah. But if you got a spike through your face and a tattoo on your chest, you just try making it to my house. Doug McBurney.
This is the Weekly Worldview.
So glad to have you aboard as we round third and head into home. From deep in the bowels of the boiler room here at the McBurney compound, we go to the war file. Breitbart is reporting that the Army has issued a directive. They issued the directive last Friday. It protects transgendered soldiers from being dismissed by mid-level officers by requiring the decision for discharge to be made by the service's top civilian top civilians for personnel matters. USA Today says that the Army's new policy is the latest indication that the military's ban on transgendered troops may be eased or lifted in the not-too-distant future, and you can bet that's going to happen, and it's sad. The announcement last week places a moratorium on dismissals by requiring officers to explain their decision to discharge a tranny to a high-ranking civilian leader, a move that many view as potentially damaging to their careers. If you've ever been in the military and you hung out with the lifers for a while, it's very political, and they're scared of their own shadow. And the higher up you get in the brass, the worse it gets, the more political they are. And they're terrified. If you're a major, you're absolutely apoplectic if you can't make a staff grade. And, of course, if you're a staff officer and you want to be a general grade officer, you get in line. And the last thing you want to do is be thrown into some secretary's office and have to explain while you're bouncing a mentally unbalanced soldier out for being a tranny. And so this basically ends all dismissals of transgendered soldiers, although I don't know how you can be a transgendered soldier, because to be a tranny, don't you have to transition? And wouldn't that be, it's been a long time since I was in the military, but it seems to me that you would be like wearing a dress and getting hormone shots, and at some point someone would say, hey, Phil, everything okay, man? But maybe not anymore, I don't know. This is the same tack, by the way, Breitbart reports, that the Pentagon took when it backed away from its don't ask, don't tell policy. You remember the don't ask, don't tell, don't seek, don't smell, don't smile policy of the 1990s instituted by Bill Jeff Clinton as a way to slowly ease homosexuals into the barracks. And he was successful. It took a while, but he got it done. Well, it's the same thing they did. You couldn't bounce out a homo unless you were willing to go and stand in front of a high-ranking civilian in the Secretary of Defense office and tell them why. And most captains and lieutenant colonels, they just don't want to do that. And so they just kind of, they transfer the homo, they get him an apartment off base, they do whatever it takes. Anyway, after this policy change was made toward the don't ask, don't tell policy, no further dismissals occurred of any homosexuals, and now no trannies. One lieutenant colonel, a spokeswoman, appropriately, we think she's a woman. It's hard, don't know. I mean, you know, it's hard to tell anymore. She said, quote, the Army policy concerning separation of transgendered soldiers has not changed, unquote. She just said it hasn't changed. That's another thing that's endemic in the military. People say things that are on their face laughably untrue, and you've just got to nod your head and say, oh, yes, sir, okay. It hasn't changed. It's changed dramatically, but according to the colonel, it hasn't changed, so it hasn't changed. Shut up and get in line. One of the reasons I left the military, there's a couple. Number one, I didn't want to shoot anyone. Number two, I did not want to be shot. And number three, I could not stand the bureaucracy. In fact, that was the number one reason I got out of the military. I couldn't take the standing in line and the forms, and it's just a bureaucracy. It's like being at the DMV 24/7. It's awful. Yeah, at least a war would disrupt just the grind of the bureaucracy. Anyway, but that's what it takes, right, to get out of it. You have to be willing to shoot and be shot at. I didn't want to go that route, so I was honorably discharged as a matter of fact at Camp Pendleton. I remember walking out the base at Camp Pendleton thinking, thinking back on the small West Texas town where I grew up, where I could have returned to, and I looked around outside of Camp Pendleton, and I looked over at the beach in Oceanside, and I said, I think I'm going to stay here. I think I like this just fine. It was So anyway, there we go. Let's see. We go into the sick and sicker file. Let's start with sick. The first transgender person elected to a state legislature has been charged now with calling in a bomb threat to a hospital. No word on whether or not that hospital was involved in the transgender person's transition or what it was all based on, but police arrested 31-year-old Stacy Lawton, if indeed that is his real name. She's from Lawton. I believe this is a man who became a woman, if I'm not mistaken, because I remember this. Well, Stacy was erected. I think it was Stan. Let's call her Stan. Stan was arrested following a February 27th threat to a hospital there in Nashua, New Hampshire. There was no bomb because Stacy Lawton is just an unbalanced tranny. Transgendered people are inherently mentally ill. It's obvious. It was obvious to everyone. Until now, they're at the head of the parade, and they're celebrated right up there with George Washington. Transgendered person comes out and says, I'm transitioning. Everyone gets in line to bow and scrape and kiss their shoes. Let's mint a coin with Bruce Jenner's face on it. Well, actually, Stan Stacy Lawton, who was, by the way, elected to the state house, but she wasn't able to actually take his seat at the state house because, of prior felony convictions associated with identity theft and fraud. Another sign, by the way, of mental unbalance is a criminal behavior. Well, her prior felony conviction came to light, and other lawmakers became uncomfortable, which that shocks me in and of itself. A guy walks in dress and lipstick, and you're nervous that he wrote bad checks? Okay. I think maybe our priorities are getting to be a little bit out of whack. The fact that it's a mentally deranged transgender freak should be concerning somewhat to everyone. But they're worried that, you might have written some bad checks in the 90s. Not in the 90s. Convicted in 2008 for identity fraud and falsifying evidence. I think that's all related to he, she, it trying to get a driver's license. I think that constitutes identity fraud by claiming that he's a girl, right? Doesn't that count anymore? Anyway, I guess not. Disturbing. Yes. Now, from the sick file, we go into the sicker file. The Star Wars franchise is going to introduce its first openly homosexual character. Yeah, it's coming in an upcoming Star Wars novel, Lord of the Sith. The first LGBT character will fall out of the closet in the world of science fiction. The Star Wars franchise. Reports are that the upcoming novel will feature a character named Moff Moores, who is a lesbian. No, she's an incredibly capable leader who happens to be a lesbian. Happens to be? Really? I think not. I think this is very deliberate. Yeah. In fact, this was reported on one of the TV news shows. And basically, it was introduced with the caveat that the Star Wars franchise is now appeasing some of its critics by introducing an open homosexual. And that tells you the power of the lobbying effort of the homosexual mafia, who are hell-bent on killing themselves and destroying the lives of as many people as possible. They're mentally ill. They were always classified as mentally ill before society in generally went mentally ill. And they're obsessed with perverted deviant sex and they're intent on making everyone talk about it all the time, and it's disgusting, and I'm done with it. All right, let's move on from that. Basically, that's a topic that shouldn't even be whispered about in secret in the dark, and we have to talk about it in broad daylight because it's coming to a theater near you, and you have to be warned. But let's move on into the politics file for something that's far less disgusting: birthright citizenship. Let's talk about that. The Fiscal Times has published an editorial piece saying that, I can just read from it. Maybe it's time for some new policy ideas, like demanding an end to our so-called birthright citizenship. So they're saying the United States grants citizenship to anyone born here. And they want an end to that. Well, I disagree. I am for birthright citizenship. Now, bear with me. Don't turn me off yet. Don't turn me off yet. So the Fiscal Times reports that only the U.S. and Canada still offer automatic citizenship to children born on their soil. And I would say to that, good. That's because we're exceptional. The rest of the world is less than we are. We are more of an ideal here in the United States. And the ability of a great and mighty nation to bestow citizenship to anyone who by chance is born here, I think is a sign of our greatness. And it's a sign of our mercy and grace toward our fellow man, because the rest of the world, well, I'll get to the rest of the world. The rest of the world is less than we are. But listen to how the Fiscal Times reports this. They say that this entitlement of birthright citizenship encourages a booming birth tourism business and virtually guarantees that the number of people in the country illegally will continue to grow. Well, here's the thing. For all of you people who are against birthright citizenship, these people at the Fiscal Times, they've pointed out a criminal justice problem. This is not an immigration policy problem. The policy of allowing people born here to be citizens is not responsible for birthright tourism. That criminal activity must be taken responsibility for under the heading of the proctocracy that has decided we have to tolerate all kinds of criminal behavior. If people were prosecuted for coming here illegally and sent home, well, then we wouldn't have a problem with birthright citizenship tourism. They talk about thousands of Chinese women who are flown here when they're pregnant and they give birth. Well, that, like I say, that's a criminal justice and law enforcement problem. The law's not being enforced, that's all. But to end birthright citizenship, to me, is to throw out one of the founding principles of our nation, in that where other nations did not have mercy, we have mercy. Why? Because we're big enough to have mercy, and we're godly enough to have mercy. And we know that our God and our Savior had mercy on us, and therefore we have mercy on others. But the rest of the nation is a cesspool of immorality and a frenzy of godlessness. And I don't want to join them. I want to remain exceptional here in America. By the way, for all of you constitutional experts out here who want to end birthright tourism or birthright citizenship, I want to end birthright tourism, yeah, but not birthright citizenship. For all of you who are experts, the 14th Amendment of the Constitution states, quote, all persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens of the United States, and I don't want to change that. Thank you very much. I find it quite exceptional, and I like it. All right, now we move into the Death Cult File. A Swiss organization that helps people take their own lives says its membership has reached a record high last year. Yeah, the organization is called Exit, and they attribute their rise in membership in part to rising numbers of patients suffering from dementia and a greater desire among people to determine the course of their lives. That's kind of hard to understand. People are suffering dementia, but they want to determine the course of their lives. Well, maybe that's why they're suicidal. it's a European problem. All of Europe is hell-bent on suicide, and then now they've joined clubs for it. Yeah. Now, there was a vote by members last year to extend their services to elderly people who are not terminally ill. So the suicidal populace in Europe continues to grow, and the dementia continues to spread. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, they're all demented. As you become unmoored from godliness and from your history, eventually you end up demented and eventually even suicidal. And that's where, Switzerland is. And Europe's hot on their heels. Rapidly followed by Oregon and Washington State. Anyway, America should not be suicidal like Europe. I don't want us to end up that way. So let's close the broadcast today in the economy file, the economics file. A report from the Business Insider, the dollar, they say, is set for its strongest quarterly strengthening since 1992, and they say that's a good sign that an interest rate hike is around the corner, says the business. Now, I know. Business people have been saying this since 2010. Well, the feds are going to raise rates any minute, any minute. But the fact is they can't. The Fed can't raise rates because everything will blow up. And I don't know how long it goes on or how they manage it, but they will. Because it's all a confidence game. And apparently we've been bamboozled into having enough confidence in them that but we haven't just stormed their offices and had them all arrested. But they say the strong dollar is a bad sign in the past, says the Business Insider. Significant dollar gains have pretty much only happened during periods of extreme financial or geopolitical stress. And then they go on to name, some scary things that happened financially. They say last week's surge in the dollar is already considerably larger than the one that surrounded the collapse of Lehman Brothers. You remember that back, the trigger of the 2008? But they do say that the conditions are different, and so nobody really knows anything. It's a confidence game. How long will it be till rates go up and the whole calliope crashes to the ground? Well, we don't know because we got a report from the AP. Last week, the European Central Bank launched its 1 trillion euro stimulus program by starting the purchase of government bonds. Yes, now the euros are doing exactly what the Fed is doing. And of course, that sent European stocks higher. In case you're not sure what that means, basically the bonds issued by the various governments in the Eurozone are bought from banks and other financial institutions by using newly printed money at the European Central Bank. And so now, this could go on for quite some time. The bond purchases are said to run through at least September of 2016. Yeah, right. They'll run until, as far as they can run, until there's either a collapse or a war. Or somebody grabs these people by their lapels and slaps them back into their senses and gets them back on the right track toward godliness. And that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview, to help that along. And I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com, Denver Bible Church, American Right to Life, and as always, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.